You are listening to the Daily Roundup here as part of the Reality Steve podcast. I am your host, Reality Steve. Thank you all for tuning in on this Friday edition of the show. I'm going to give you a thought I had on Jen's season, almost kind of thinking out loud here. An update on the transcription that's happening on the website. I do want to mention something that was said in yesterday's podcast number 388 with Greer Blitzer that I wanted to go over with you that I've already gone over with Greer. Have an update on the American Idol judge replacing Katy Perry. I didn't do my homework yesterday, and thank you all to those who corrected me on it. Claire Crawley dealing with trolls and just to a level that I can't even believe, but I shouldn't even say that because this is what Toxic Bachelor Nation does. And we have an April palindrome going on right now, in case you didn't know. We'll get to all that momentarily.
You like to watch new stuff, right? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
So, let's start out with the transcription part. Heard from a few of you yesterday who said what I posted yesterday, the different transcription from the Descript program online, was fine. Actually, I screwed it up in terms of, you know, I told you there's no way to differentiate between me speaking and yesterday, you know, the interviewee, Greer, speaking. But that was my fault because apparently there is somewhere in there where you can, if you're doing an interview, it will identify the speaker. I just copy and pasted it wrong. So I will be able to do that next week for podcast 389, whoever that may be. I don't have it booked yet. But next week, you'll be able to see my voice notified, as I think it just says speaker one, and then the person I'm talking to will be identified as speaker two, as opposed to just kind of the run-on that it was today. But that was one of the longer ones I've had in a while. Usually they're 45 minutes to an hour. Greer was almost an hour and 20 minutes. So yeah, that was, you know, as I told you, I only did a one page break for that particular transcription. So it was a lot. I mean, it was long. If you read it, great. Thank you for reading. But these transcriptions for the Daily Roundup are obviously a lot shorter. Speaking of podcast number 388 yesterday, you know, when I was going in and uploading it, sometimes I listen to some of it. For an hour and 20 minute one, no, because Greer and I recorded on Wednesday at like 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the evening, my time. So I don't have time to sit there and listen to the whole interview. Just, I can never do it. But I'll hear bits and pieces of it. And when I was going through it, trying to put in, you know, where to put the commercials and stuff like that, there was one section that kind of bothered me. One thing that I said that bothered me that I just wanted to clear up with you guys, the audience. I already cleared it up with Greer. But when she was telling the story of being sequestered in Estonia, and I was like, what did you do? And she's like, the only time I ever dealt with anybody was when I called for food. And then she said they would give me coloring books. And my response was, what are you, in fucking third grade? I might have said fifth grade, but you know, if you listen to the interview, you know what I said. And the way I said it, I didn't know if she took it as I was calling her a third grader. What I should have said was, what does the show think? You're in fucking third grade? But I just said, what do you think? You're in third grade, you know, what are you fucking... What are you in fucking third grade? And it sounded like I was saying it to Greer, and I was putting her down for having coloring books. But when I texted her yesterday and I just said, hey, I want to be clear. I was basically calling out the show for delivering a grown woman coloring books to keep her occupied. And she's like, oh, no, don't worry. I totally took it that way. Yeah, that's the way I looked at it as well. So in case any of you thought, no one emailed me on it, but it bothered me enough to where I wanted to make sure I was not offending Greer. And she's like, no, 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 but thank you for checking in with me to make sure I didn't, you know, didn't feel uncomfortable. But no, I never took it that way. I took it the way you originally intended it, which was, why are they giving a grown woman coloring books? Like, I understand that they can't give her phone. I understand they can't turn on the TV. She can't have internet access. But maybe give her some reading material, not coloring books. Again, what is she in fucking third grade? I cannot believe they gave her coloring books. What? But yeah, so I wanted to clear that up. And I'm glad that Greer didn't take, you know, the way, and just the way I said it and the way it came across, it was like, yeah, I could see how she might have taken it that way, but I just wanted to make sure. And she didn't, thank God. So I had this thought about Jen's season, and I didn't do any research and go back to past seasons. I was kind of thinking about some in the back of my head, because obviously I don't know how many men were in Seattle. And I said, I think for the most part, this is the last episode before Hometowns, but I'm not sure because I don't know how many are there. And we know that Marcus had a one-on-one date Sunday. We know the group date was on Monday, but we don't know who it was with. It was, you know, a call into the radio show. And then we know that on Tuesday was Jeremy's one-on-one. And then I was thinking, on episodes before Hometowns, don't they save the group date for last? Because everybody that goes on a one-on-one, if they're doing get a rose on your date, you're automatically secure for a hometown. And if you don't get a rose, you're going home. And then they always save that group date for last because usually the lead has already given out at least two roses on one-on-ones. And then what they do is on that group date, they'll give one like earlier in the day, and then there'll usually be two people left. And it comes down to, it's not, you know, a standard two-on-one date. It usually comes down to who gets the last rose. Well, if the group date was on Wednesday, they wouldn't do it that way. So that means that, okay, well, there must have been a rose ceremony in Seattle. So I was trying to think back to other seasons. When did they do it to where they had a rose ceremony before hometown dates? Last season, I know they did. Didn't they? Yeah, because Jen and Kelsey T got eliminated at the rose ceremony in, I can't remember the city they were in, which gave Daisy, Kelsey, Rachel, and Maria the final four. So they did have a rose ceremony, and I guess that's the way they did it for this episode. But it did cross my mind, because I think a majority of the time they don't do the rose ceremonies before hometowns. They do the, hey, you get a date on your you get a rose on your one-on-one date, you're secure, you're in the final four. And then the group date is always last, and that determines who gets the roses. But with Joey's season last season, they did do a rose ceremony before hometown dates. So I guess that's what they did for Jen's. But we don't know for sure. You know, that's just the way it goes. More than likely, this was the last episode before hometowns. It's just kind of a weird, the whole thing was a weird travel schedule this year. First time we've ever seen something like this where they immediately went overseas after the first night in California. And then they come back and they do one episode in a U.S. city. And then I assume your overnight and final rose ceremony is going to be in another country. Just a weird format this year, you know? But yeah, very little has gotten out. The only two dates we've gotten any sort of pictures or video of are Jeremy's one-on-one on Tuesday in Seattle and Marcus's one-on-one Sunday in Seattle. Nothing else has gotten out, you know. Kind of know who's left, but definitely nothing confirmed. And, you know, I'm kind of going off of what somebody told me who can't show me any evidence. You know, so I just have it in my notes of, okay, Well, I'll keep that in mind, but and nothing I can run with yet because I have no confirmation. And I don't like to run with things that I don't feel like I've got confirmation enough for. But yeah, really, the only ones we know for sure are the two that obviously had public dates, Jeremy and Marcus. We know that they were in the episode, but anybody else? Yeah, look, I know most people are gone because, you know, we don't even know the number that they started with. They gave us 28 on the Bachelor Facebook page. We know Jonathan Hess got cut before filming, but did they cut one more? Did they cut two more and start with 25? We don't know for sure, but there's a lot of people that obviously are gone and have been gone for a while. Noah's brother did not last very long, but the exact episode he went home, I don't know. Pretty sure Kevin McDevitt went home on the first episode. There's just other people that I just don't know where they fit into everything. You know, I gotta go look back. I know that both Thomases are gone. Thomas Wynn, I don't think lasted very long. Thomas Azzano, the TOMAS, he's been home for a couple weeks now. He was a non-factor in this season. We know that who's the other one that was gone pretty early? Matt Arnold was gone pretty early. You know, but just getting the exact, you know, that's what I got to figure out is when exactly these people went home. I don't know for sure yet. And when you don't even know who's left in Seattle, where there was probably between 6 and 8 guys, you don't know. So still got a lot to figure out. Shit, this season is going to be done filming in about 3 weeks, but it doesn't air till July. So plenty of time to come up with stuff and find stuff out. But that's where we're at right now. This podcast is brought to you by Way. Ladies, I'm going to drill in your heads, your frizzy heads. You're too busy to be frizzy. Grab Way's new anti-frizz cream. Lightweight cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. Like I said, it lasts up to 72 hours plus heat protection up to 450 degrees. It helps reduce and repair split ends while quenching hair with intense hydration. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. I've told you, I've passed this along. Way sent me the product. I don't deal with the frizzies, but my friends do. And we're getting into the summertime, and if you live in a place that has a lot of humidity, I know you get the frizzies. We see women on this show get the frizzies all the time when they go down to Mexico for Bachelor in Paradise. I know Mexico isn't the only place with humidity, so check it out. You don't need the frizzies. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theway.com, that's theouai.com, and enter promo code RealitySteve for 15% off any product. That's theway.com, theouai.com, promo code RealitySteve for 15% off any product.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Thank you to those who reached out to me after yesterday's podcast to inform me that, Steve, I don't really think Kelly Clarkson is going to move back to L.A. She moved to New York with her children for her TV show. And that was the one thing I didn't know yesterday. Remember, I was like, wait, is her TV show in L.A. or New York? Well, you corrected me. It's in New York. So I guess we can officially eliminate her from being a host on American Idol next season. Lionel Richie said his two replacements for Katie would be either Taylor Swift or Kelly Clarkson. Kelly's out. And look, is there a 1% chance American Idol just says, fuck it, let's throw a gobsmacking amount of money at Taylor Swift and see if she does it? Like, if you're Taylor Swift, and I know money isn't an issue to her. She's got enough money that her children's 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 children are going to be set for life. But would she do it for $50 million a season? Like, Ryan Seacrest makes, like, I think $15 to $18 million a season just to host American Idol. The judges, I think, are all around 10 to 12. I think Katie makes the most. But they make, you know, a ridiculous amount of money for being on that show where they don't even have to coach them. They're just judges. Would it create too much of an imbalance if you bring in Katy Perry to sit alongside Luke Bryan and Lionel Richie, where she's making triple what they make? Will they be like, hey, if you're bringing her in and giving her 50, can we get a bump in pay? I don't know. Like I said, there's 1% chance that Taylor Swift becomes judge. I'm just saying, if I'm American Idol, just like I said about SNL, if I'm SNL, I at least make the call. I at least say, can we make it work? I said SNL should have had Taylor Swift be the musical guest and Travis Kelce host again. He did it last year. He could have done it again, but I don't know why. Maybe they did reach out, and maybe it just could not, with their schedules, work out. I'm not sure. But if you're American Idol, you got to at least reach out, right? Gauge her interest. Ask her what money would she... Ask her. Here's a blank check, Taylor. How much would it take for you to be a judge for a season? And just scratch that check. Because, everything she touches turns to gold. Is it going to go back to 35 million viewers a week like it was in its heyday? No, not even close. But it's getting like 4 million viewers a week, maybe 5. If Taylor Swift became a judge on that show, their ratings would double, if not 2.5 to 3 times. Just because her fans would want to tune in to see her. They would care less about the singing competition. They wouldn't even probably care to vote. Maybe they would. I mean, obviously a few of them would, but I don't think that matters. Your whole point is, how do people watch American Idol again and make it appointment viewing? You know how? You make Taylor Swift a judge. But I'm sure they would love to have her as a judge. Takes two to tango. She has to want to do it, and they have to agree to terms. And I just, you know, like I said, in 2024, I find it impossible because she's still touring in 2024 until November. So it looks like 2024 is out, which means if you hire somebody next season, the 2025 American Idol, which is going to film a lot of its judges' stuff and the auditions at the, you know, fall of 2024, you would need her there, and it doesn't look like she can be there. And I don't think you would bring in a judge for 1 year and then the next year bring in Taylor Swift. So looks like it's a pipe dream. Like I said, it's a 1% chance, but I would at least gauge her interest for maybe the future seasons. Unfortunate news in Bachelor Nation. The trolls really jumped on Claire Crawley. Why? Because they didn't like the filter she used on her Instagram stories and basically were calling her out. And, you know, Claire put out on her Instagram stories yesterday. If you listened to this before, probably, you know, Instagram stories are up 24 hours. I don't know when I saw it. It was maybe 6 or 7 p.m. So it'll be up for a few more hours today if you want to go. But I want you to go to Claire's Instagram stories, probably still up, and she posted some of the messages that she got. Let me read one of them to you. Here's one. Too much work done to your face. So sad. Your face is swollen. Looks bad. I'm not hating, but we see that you have had something done. No need to post random a year later about wisdom teeth. LOL. Desperate content. Did someone really say, I'm not hating, and then just flat out insult her? Yes, that would be the answer to that question. Claire goes on to say, because of everything that she's been to, she had explants, she had her implants removed, she had explant surgery, she's had to be taking a steroid to combat her, she also has autoimmune deficiencies. And, or autoimmune, she's had some sort of autoimmune problems in her body. And so she's had to take steroids for it. And unfortunately, the steroids are puffing up her face. And she even admits in the video become very insecure about it. And then she has to read that from people? You've gotten too much work done on your face? Like, you know, we talk about this all the time, but what? It's just so easy to say that to somebody behind a computer screen. Who the fuck do you think you are saying that to somebody that you don't even know? I mean, the best way to describe it is if you walked by Claire in the grocery store or anybody in this franchise in the grocery store, the thing that you're writing to them behind your fake screen name, would you say to their face? If someone met Claire in the grocery store and went up to her and said, "Hey, man, your face looks bad. Too much work done. Desperate content." No, you wouldn't in a million years. So that's what I mean. I feel so bad for Claire. She's a new mother. Probably very, very hormonal. And then she has to read that? And she even admitted, I mean, she was basically crying in her Instagram story, saying how much it got to her. And it's just like, yeah. I get it. Of course, how could it not get to you when all you're doing is taking medication that's having an adverse effect on your body somewhere and people are pointing it out, saying you've got work done to your face? Like, oh, this franchise, I swear, this fan base, just a bunch of awful, awful, sad, pathetic, lonely individuals. And again, I would just love it. I would just love it. And I'm a little disappointed in Claire that she didn't post the Instagram handle of this person. She should have. That absolutely warranted that person being called out. You're going to say that to somebody behind a screen name in your Instagram account? That person's Instagram account should be made public to everyone else. Because they would get so much shit that would probably force them to create a new account. Or at least shut that one down. And that's the whole goal. Because if you have the balls to say that to somebody behind a screen name, a fake screen name, or maybe it wasn't, maybe it was a legit Instagram account where it's like the person's face, their name. I don't know. She just cut and pasted the message. But, man, I would just love to know the person behind that account that says that to her. What they look like. What they've written before, what's in their bio. You know, I mean, this is, it's sad and pathetic. But, you know, I don't know. Send Claire a positive message after that, because I'm sure she was pretty down having to deal with a loser like that. And finally, did you know that we're in the middle of an April palindrome? For 10 straight days, starting on April 20th, today's obviously April 26th. Happy birthday, Mom. April 26th is, so from April 20th to April 29th, we have a palindrome. Do you know what that is? If you remember from school, each date, when you write out 4/20/24, reads the same backwards and forwards for 10 straight days. 4/20, starting on April 20th to April 29th, 4/20/24 backwards reads 4/20/24. Same with 4/21, 4/22, all the way to 4/29. So today is 4/26/24 backwards reads 4/26/24. Cool little nugget. I thought we'd end the podcast with that. Go impress your friends and tell them, "Hey, do you know we're in the middle of an April palindrome?" They'll be like, "Get a life." Anyway, thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. Follow me on Apple Podcasts. Also, rate and review. But please hit play. That's the best way to support the podcast in addition to using my promo code for any ads that I read as well during the podcast, which one is Way today, theway.com. And type in promo code RealitySteve, 15% off any product. So thank you all for listening. Have a great weekend. And I will talk to you on Monday. See you.
living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.